Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
All right, well, let's take these three requests and a praise report. Well, there's more than three requests, but three sheets and a praise report. I'll just tell you in the praise report real quick. Ruby, we prayed for last week. Daniel had us bring up Ruby, little one-year-old, and doing great. So you were saying Daniel's skin grafts are taken?
She doesn't have to have
the skin grafts.
The open sores that she
had
are closed up, and she's walking.
Wow. Awesome. Woohoo! Yeah. Good, good. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah, the guys bringing it to the Lord. Let's do that right now with the rest of these. So, Father, thank you for that praise report on little Ruby. And as we mentioned together last week, there's just something that kind of tugs in the heart when there's a little one involved. And just so thankful for your mercy on her. And I'm sure the family is so stoked and so thankful. So God, thank you for being the one that did that. And praying for healing for Marion, our brother Jeff's mom. And just asking for your merciful touch on her, Lord, just as you did for Ruby. Lord, a couple folks in Daniel's life that don't yet know your son as the Lord and Savior of their lives, Travis and Shelley. And Lord, we pray for them, for open eyes, Lord, and welcoming of the good news. Lord, also healing prayer for Carol. Lord, praying again for that merciful touch, Lord, which we believe any touch on someone's health is merciful on your part. And just looking for that grace for Carol. Same with Joe Colaccio, Lord. It's a great brother, longtime refugee, and dealing with it, with cancer, and fighting it. And Lord, we pray for victory for our brother Joe. And Lord, our brother Ed, good to have him back with us tonight. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Miss our brother, miss our fellowship. So thank you, Lord, for reuniting us. Lord, thanks for getting him out of the hospital. But just praying for this full recovery, just clarity that just feels like is not quite back yet, and mental clarity. And so, God, we pray for you to remove any of that cloudiness and just help him to get firing on all eight cylinders and back in action, Lord. So praying that touch, gracious touch of yours on our brother Ed. And with our brother Renee, just so glad to see one of us remembering to pray for Cheryl. Lord, I think for some of us, that'll be some of the biggest rejoicing when we hear about that. Lord, especially with all that she's gone through just over and over, and knee surgeries and infections and redos and redo of a redo. And never during that time, Lord, pre-COVID and during COVID, did she ever whine? Did she ever speak badly, harshly of anyone, but just would smile and point to you, Lord. So asking you, Father, for more grace on our sister Cheryl. And Lord, I don't see a prayer request here from my other brother Daniel, but I suspect, Lord, the burden of his heart that you've given him, Lord, as each of us find ourselves just with extra compassion for different groups, people, situations, Lord, and you've given him just a burden in his heart for the plight of the unborn, and Lord, for them, and I guess, and, you know, ultimately they get to be in your presence, but Lord, the plight on the people that fund it, the people that support it, the people that do it, Lord. It's just a heavy, heavy thing to take a life and think it's okay to refer to it as not a life, to refer to it as just a tissue mass, to think of it as like a tumor being removed and an inconvenience being removed. Lord, we pray for a change there. Lord, I know that ultimately is a matter of the heart. And so we pray for that, Lord, for an awakening to truth and the ultimate truth, of course, in your Son. Lord, thank you for the mercy that you have extended to us as a people, as a nation. Lord, you have been merciful to us. We don't deserve the goodness you have. That's your grace, and we deserve judgment, and it hasn't been meted out, and that's your mercy, Lord. And we are part of that people, Lord, collectively. Lord, just as the prophet Daniel would cry out to you on behalf of his own nation and including himself in that, Lord, we would follow his lead and just say, God, help us to turn to you. So, Lord, thank you for the blessings that you've provided. Some appreciated, some not. Many do not appreciate the gift of our nation. But, Lord, we appreciate all your gifts, even our gathering here, or just some good fellowship with brothers, just hanging out together, and common bond, different backgrounds for sure, but common bond of men that have walked on this common ground of grace and receive the gift of life, Lord, real life, relationship with you, knowing you, growing and knowing you better, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord. May that be so tonight, that we'll get to know you better as we dig into your word, words of life, as Peter said, Lord. So you alone have them. We pray you'll open them up to us tonight as we finish out Ephesians 4. Lord, also praying that you'd help us to make our singing a gift to you of praise, not just a song that we sing or a lyric sheet we read or listening, but Lord, giving you praise as just a gift to say thank you for your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brothers. Hey, heads up, I just got a text from Russ Burmaster. We prayed from last week because he had just been, I don't know, 12 hours after, not even that, after his knee replacement. He's doing great. He's watching online. Hey, Russ, he asked me to thank you guys for praying for that. So there you go. That's just the thank you on that. So, yeah. And we prayed for Daniel's friend Jeff's mom, Marion, and I got a text from him. There's surgery. It's scheduled, but it's bumped to the end of March, which seems kind of crazy because it's pretty serious. Yeah, the last day in March. So I think, yeah. So that's not good. Matter of fact, I want to take that specifically in prayer because he asked that all of us would do that. So let's honor that if you join me, and then we'll get into Ephesians chapter 4 and finish it up, all right? Well, Father in heaven, I know that really and understandably bothers our brother Jeff, and just seeing this immediate need for his mom and pretty serious issues that need to be dealt with right away, and to hear it's going to be put off for, well, over 2 months. Lord, it's just not a good story, and I think a few of us have heard these kind of stories where important surgeries are bumped and move down the road, and so, Father, we pray that you'd intervene, and whatever that looks like, I'm just asking you to intervene on behalf of Jeff's mom, Marianne, Father. So thank you for letting us kind of piggyback earlier prayer and bringing all this stuff before you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so, brothers, Brother Todd is going to finish up chapter 4. It's an awesome chapter, so we're jumping right in. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. Welcome, your brother.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. know if you guys have noticed, though, we got a special guest speaker coming up here really soon. Very special. You haven't heard him? Yeah. Yeah, most people haven't, but he's pretty good, I think. Oh, man. Well, give me a minute while I'm setting up my toys. Again, Ephesians 4, and we're going to be finishing up the chapter, starting in verse 17. Let me get my app going here. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the Bible. Okay, good. Perfect. It's the right book. Whew. Pressure's off now. Yes. All right, well, last week we looked at the first part of chapter 4 as Alan took us through that. And what we were focused on was Christian behavior and how it relates to the unity of the body of Christ, right? The main thing is the main thing. That's Jesus, right? Our salvation through him. Him alone. That is the big thing. Now, there's going to be disagreements, and there's going to be, things that we're not in accord on, but we have to disagree agreeably is the idea. And I can say that, I've got some longtime friends that I don't always agree with, but we agree that we're still friends. So that's the important thing when it comes to us. And so tonight, with the context in mind of how to keep peace and unity with each other as believers, we'll pick up in verse 17. But before we do, let's pray. Father, thanks for this opportunity to teach. I pray that you'd use it. And thanks for this place. I said earlier to the guys, it's very comfortable here. Pizza and cake and comfort food and fellowship. It's pretty awesome. So thanks for that. And again, thanks for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So Ephesians 4, 17. Here we go. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all cleanness with greediness. Starts with that word, therefore. Again, that leads us to our context, right? What we just got done talking about, which is peace and unity. And he's going to start talking about what we must do or not do in order to sustain that, right? I testify in the Lord, first part there. I really mean what I'm going to tell you here is the idea. And he says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. No longer meaning we used to walk that way, right? Walk being a simile of an action word, right? The idea is live our life or act or behave. And how do the Gentiles walk? How do we used to walk? And Gentiles, of course, just being people that don't know Christ. They walk in the futility of their mind. Futility. Words that relate to futility. Found this interesting. Sounds like life without Jesus. Let's see what that sounds like. Emptiness. Ineffectiveness. Frivolousness. Fruitlessness. Hollowness. Idleness. Meaninglessness. Pointlessness. Senselessness, unprofitableness, worthlessness, a whole lot of ness. We have no business as Christians living that kind of life. As believers, we should walk with fullness, right? With effectiveness, with purposefulness. having meaning, bearing fruit. When someone doesn't know God, they look for fulfillment in things, right? They look for fulfillment in the creation versus the creator, right? In things that in and of themselves are not bad things for them, some, a lot of them, right? Examples would be money, sex, entertainment. Yes, I said sex. I'm a fan. When in context with your wife, it's a very good thing. It's a blessing. Money, it's a very good thing. Money allows us to give gifts to our kids at Christmas time or on a Tuesday because we feel like it. Money helps us pay for our mortgage and eat and go on vacation and do all kinds of great things, right? Money's not a bad thing when it's not the thing we're worshiping. Entertainment. I have a lot of different hobbies. I'm a guy that of many hobbies, and I bounce around from thing to thing. But if that becomes the focus of my life, that's the problem, right? So, and that's what people that don't know Jesus, that's where they look for fulfillment. That's where they look to fill that empty spot in their heart. When that becomes the focus of your life, ultimately it's a trap, and it can become an all-consuming sin that leads to destruction, and that's what we're talking about. A good reference would be Romans 1, 21 through 23, where it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles." Again, they worship the creation versus the creator, and that's what happens when we don't have Jesus. Moving on, Ephesians 4, verse 20. "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your formal conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." This is one of those little blocks of scripture where I don't speak New King James, so I go to the NIV or somewhere else to get another translation. I'm going to read it to you from one of those. I'm going to pick the NIV. "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Thank goodness for plain English. I'll give you guys a story about my becoming a carpenter, how I got into the trades, which ultimately led to my business. I used to be really into snowboarding, and I would go from mountain community to mountain community. And one season, we decided with a couple of my friends, let's go to Lake Tahoe. And we moved up there, and I had been a guy that built snowboard parks for a living, and so I was kind of connected in those circles, and I could have very easily gone and gotten a job working for one of the snowboard parks, because there's like 12 mountain resorts up there, but I didn't do that. I was stubborn, and I'd kind of lost the joy of that, and I was like, I'm going to do something else, and so smart me goes to work at a convenience store, like a liquor store. And I thought that was a better option for some reason. And but I worked that job all winter long, and the springtime rolled around, and I knew I'm not going to keep doing this. And the guy I worked for is a really cool guy, Mo. And he was like, you know, this isn't for you, man. You got to get out there and do something else if you're going to stick around this summer. I said, okay, well, what should I do, Mo? And he says, Why don't you try, you know, working as a carpenter? And I thought, well, that sounds cool and everything. I like being outside, but I don't know the first thing about construction. And he says, you know, here's what you got to do. You got to go down to the local Meeks, right, which was like the Home Depot of Lake Tahoe, and buy yourself a set of tool bags. And you want to buy, these are some hand tools that you're going to want, you know, things I didn't even know what they were, like a speed square and a cat's paw and, you know, different stuff. And obviously hammer, right? Need one of those. But go load up your tool bags with those hand tools. And then you're going to go down to, you know, Tahoe Boulevard and go in, you know, to the Tahoe Keys. And there's plenty of houses being built in there. Just pull up to one of the job sites and put on those bags and go up and talk to the foreman. So that's what I did. And I went in there. I put it on. I walked up and with the sticker still on the hammer, you know, $9.99 or whatever it said on it. You know, and I was, you know, my bags are gleaming, just clean, right? You know, just, what a clown. But hey, that's where I was at. And I said, hey, you know, I've never done this before, but I know that I want to do this. And, you know, could you guys use some help? I said, obviously, I'm ready to go. And the guy said, sure, let's go. And the first thing he did was he had me cut this piece of plywood. It took me 5 minutes to rip it in half. I think they laughed about that for the first year that I worked for those guys. They had me carrying wood and you know, for at least 3 months and pounding Tico nails. So I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, even though I'd hit my thumb just about every other swing. But they gave me a shot, you know, and as believers, we have a tool bag. And it's got things like God's word, and it's got things like God's Holy Spirit. Paul's saying, you're no longer past feeling numb, right? You're not numb to your transgressions anymore. When we make a mistake now, we have the Holy Spirit to tell us what we're doing wrong. And for us to respond to, and indeed we should respond to and correct that. It's like people think, I've got to get right and then come to the Lord. No, you just get to come to the Lord and then he equips you with these things, right? You got to step out in faith first, right? When we come to the Lord, he gives us these tools and he teaches us along the way to do your part and to put on the tool bag and just to get after it. And so, here we go with some of the ways we can put on the tool bag. Here we go with some of the tools we can put in the tool bag. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Again, the context is unity in the body of Christ. So with that in mind, we should be honest with each other, right? Especially in this group of guys. I really feel like a lot of this, I don't see a lot of this in this group. You guys are awesome. But, hey, it's in the Word. We're going to talk about it. Some potential places where we can struggle with this, especially as men. Obviously, don't deal in deceit with each other, right? That's an obvious one. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But some things that I thought about that as guys that we can definitely struggle with would be like when someone says, hey man, how you doing? And your response is, I'm doing good. Or yeah, I'm okay, I'm good, I'm fine. The truth is you're not fine, right? You got something you're dealing with, right? So we're not being honest with each other when we say we're fine, when we're not fine. That's an opportunity in the body of Christ for us to lean on each other. And like I said, in this group, I feel like we do a good job of that, you know, for the most part. But maybe some of you guys don't. And so I know that's something I struggle with a little bit. It's probably just a natural guy thing, and I'm probably not alone. So I feel like that's somewhere we can do better. I know that in here I've received encouragement from many of you guys. I've received prayer, obviously. Sometimes I just needed to hear myself talk. You guys let me do that. Get something off my chest. I think that's a big deal. That's something we can do for each other. The flip side of that is you ask somebody, hey, how you doing? But you really don't want to listen to them, right? That's being dishonest too, right? We got to be good listeners. Man, I'm guilty of that one. Just ask my wife. To be fair, listening is not a quality that comes natural to me. I don't know if it's like ADD, short attention span, or what it is, but I'm already moved on to the next thing, thinking about the next thing, right? So we need to genuinely be that way. I need to be that way. I'm talking to myself. And here's another one. Be authentic, right? We shouldn't be churchy, right? I mean, we need to be real with each other, right? I think, and again, I don't feel like I get that in here, but I see it a lot on Sundays. I see it in, especially, and I remember me as a new believer, I was pretty churchy, you know, speaking all New King James and, and you know, even though I don't know what any of it means. But that's not cool. Like, unless that's how you talk normally, right? It's not going to reach anybody. And here's the thing too. You may think like I'm into this or I like doing this. Like for me, I'll give you an example. I have found commonality and I've found other Christians in places like I would have never thought. And it's God's given me an interest in something and I go down that rabbit hole and lo and behold, hey, here's another believer who's going down the same rabbit hole. I belong to a shooting club in town. And in that club, I joined it for shooting purposes. And in that club, they've got this really killer cigar lounge. And it's amazing. And so I started learning about cigars and started getting into that. Well, my brother Rich over here, I met him in the cigar lounge. You know, the Lord's got people everywhere. You know, I've seen a few other brothers from church in this cigar lounge hanging out. You know, God's got people everywhere. So don't think you can't be yourself. And because, you know, it's not cool, right? Just be yourself, right? If you're into Chihuahuas, don't pretend like you're into, you know, pit bulls, right? I mean, don't be like talking pit bull with somebody and then go home to your Chihuahua. Chihuahuas are cool-ish. So, you know, just do that. Just do that whole thing. Speak truth in grace, right? Sometimes the truth isn't what someone wants to hear, but it's still the truth. And the key is to speak it in grace. I was trying to think, how do I make a good example of this one? I'm going to go to Jesus. Jesus is a perfect example, right, of just grace in motion. So I looked around, and my favorite example of and where I gleaned a couple really cool things is the woman at the well, right? One really neat thing about that encounter is, first of all, the disciples were going and getting groceries, right? They were going to get food in town. So he comes to her alone. He addresses her. He has that conversation with her alone. That's one way to speak it in grace, to speak truth in grace, right? That's a good little point to glean. It's also interesting because as soon as the guys come back, right, she's out, she's gone, right? So it was, she probably wouldn't have responded with a bunch of other people around, right? So that's a good way to do it. And scripturally speaking, you know, when you confront a brother or someone about something, you're supposed to do it alone first, right? That's step one. So I think that's a good thing. Also, obviously Jesus knows everything, right? He knows the beginning from the end. So he understood this woman's situation before he sought to be understood, right? And so I think that's something for us, right? We need to understand what someone's going through, what they're dealing with before we need to make our point understood, right? Before we need to speak, you know, our truth, right? I think that's grace to understand somebody. Again, speaking to myself, listen, listen, Todd. So we need to listen and we need to understand before we, you know, go about speaking our truth. Sometimes, especially concerning marriage, speaking personally, when I don't communicate something, it's almost as bad as if I told a lie. Which leads me to verse 26, right? Be angry and do not sin, nor give place to the devil. Verse 27. Here's a helpful tip, guys, if you haven't learned this one yet. Most of you guys are vets, you know this already, but in case you don't. When your wife gets upset at you for not communicating, and you get angry, right, because you're like, I didn't do anything wrong, don't let it escalate, right? Trust me, my wife is a 5-foot little Italian woman, and dynamite comes in small packages. So escalation is not a good idea, right? It is way better to make peace if you can. Psalm 37:8 says, "Cease your anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret it; it only causes harm." And Proverbs 16:32 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." So make peace, if at all possible, and deal with it and move on. Because if you don't, it's going to fester. Don't let it fester, right? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Man, dude, I make that mistake. Ugh, I make that mistake a lot, and because I'm just a knucklehead. And don't do it. In the past, I had, outside of marriage, right, I had an issue with a brother. And from, fellow Christian, right? Which is the context of what we're talking about, really. And your wife fits into that too, right? That's your fellowship as well. But I had an issue where some things didn't go right, and we needed to make them right. We needed to fix them as a business. And no argument, you know, need to do it. And I was doing it. But then it turned into a thing where it became more of a personal thing where this person felt like my intentions were bad. And that was really hard for me to deal with. That was kind of, some things were said that in front of my wife, even that were, it crossed my line. And in anybody else, you know, it's on, right? And God really put it on my heart, "Todd, man, just make peace." And it's still, I think about this, it still hurts because I really love and respect this person. It still hurts me that's where it went. But God put it in my heart, make peace. It doesn't matter, just make peace. And so we did. We made peace, and I still interacted with that person for a while. It was a little awkward after that. It was never quite the same, naturally, but I'm 100% positive it was a million times better than had we not made peace. And I'll say we, because, you know, he was part of that, right? So I can speak from that personal experience that it is definitely better to make peace. And sometimes you got to swallow your pride, and it's worth it, though. God's word says it is, and I trust him. So there's that. Let's see here. Ephesians 4:28. Let's keep going. "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." The idea here is simple. It's be a giver. Don't be a taker, right? We all got something to give. We all got something to give. We all got giftings, right? As we talked about earlier in Ephesians last week. But beyond that, right, this is the body of Christ. We all got to do our thing, right? The body doesn't work, right? If the you know, thumbs aren't doing their thing, I'm not going to be picking stuff up very well, right? So we all got to do our thing as body of Christ. But we all have time. We all got some money, talents, attention. We all got one or multiple of those things, right? And so we've all got something to offer. And I think it's important to keep that in mind, that we owe it to each other to do that. I think in the context of keeping peace and keeping unity, that's part of our responsibility, guys, is to pitch in. Be givers, don't be takers. 4:29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Here's one where I read this, and, you know, this is probably not contextually it's not what he's talking about, but it still rings some truth, and so I'm going to share it. Guys, especially, we can be brutal when we're joking with each other, right? We can bust each other's chops, and I personally don't take offense to that. I find that kind of humor actually hilarious, and I prefer it, especially when I'm the brunt of the joke. I don't know why, I'm glutton for punishment, I guess. I don't know. But I find that stuff funny. But I have to, you got to keep in mind who you're dealing with, right? It doesn't work for everybody. And I'll use my wife as an example for the last time tonight, maybe. And I use her a lot because she's my best friend. So just to clarify, I spend the most time with her. She's my person. So I got to use what I got, right? But I tell people, I'm like, hey, I'm like sandpaper and she's like cotton. You know what I mean? Just imagine those two going across each other, right? And so, especially when it comes to jokes, like, they just are lost on her. My sense of humor is just lost on her a lot of times. She's like, she doesn't laugh at all. She doesn't even realize I'm joking, right? So I'm like, okay, Todd, you got to be more like emery cloth than sandpaper when it comes to your wife, right? Because, yeah, I mean, I just, she doesn't get it, so. Or maybe I don't get it. All right, so we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. She's probably watching. Oh, should I go home after this? All right. But what I really think we're talking about here in this passage is gossip and rumor, right? We need to steer clear of that, obviously, if we can. But I thought of some other methods that we can use too, right? Because sometimes you're in a group setting and somebody else is being discussed. And this is something that I've put into action because that just makes me uncomfortable. So I have a hard time sitting there quiet, so I'll usually have to say something. And this is something that I've said before. I'll be like, yeah, Mike is a knucklehead, you know, but, you know, he's going through some tough stuff right now, maybe. You know, we don't know what he's going through. We don't know what's happening in his house right now. We don't know if his dog's sick. I mean, we don't know, right? So let's cut him some slack, right? There's one way we can interject for each other. If that situation comes up, how about this? And this one's true for me almost every time. So this is an easy one for me. I'm guilty of that. I've done that, you know, cut the guy some slack, you know, I'm sure, you know, he didn't mean to, or, you know, he probably feels like an idiot right now because he did it. Cause I know I did when I did it. Right. So that's another way, right? Just to own it a little bit on yourself, take it off your brother. But this is really cool. There was a commentator as I was reading on it, and he wrote this about this. He said, those that hear what we say should sense in our words that people are getting what they don't deserve, not being condemned for maybe even what they do deserve. And that's the idea, right? It's just our speech really needs to convey just like forgiveness and grace, and it's not that big a deal. Don't worry about it. You know, it's really not. Because it's really not that big a deal. I will say, today I almost didn't show grace to my guys. I was telling Vic, we're talking, and I didn't have, this is not my paper, but we were talking about earlier, I had my guys made a big screw up, an expensive screw up. And man, I wanted to, what's the movie we were talking about? Do you remember? The movie that I said I wanted to be like, oh yeah, Days of Thunder. Do you guys remember Days of Thunder, Tom Cruise? Right? Remember when his race boss or whatever, the owner of the race team came in, and he's like, you're fired, you're all fired, I'm firing everybody. Right? I wanted to do that so bad today. It would have felt great, but it probably wouldn't have been a good thing for my business. And it wouldn't have been speaking of grace, right? That little illustration probably could have fit good back in 428, but hey, it works here too. So anyways, we need to speak the truth in grace, right? And so maybe I didn't have any conversation with my guys, but maybe I could word it a different way, like, well, you know, you guys should be fired, but I know you learned from your mistakes and you're really sorry, right? And yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I don't think that any of them cared at all. All right. Anyways, I'll move on. I'm venting. I'm getting it off my chest. I told you guys, right? I'm hearing myself speak. I feel better already. This has been eating at me all day. All right, here we go. So Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, right? And if the Spirit is trying to communicate with me or correct me and tell me how's he do that? I feel like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I probably shouldn't have done that, right? That's the Holy Spirit talking to me, right? And if he's trying to lead me, I need to listen to him. That grieves him. But here's another thing to keep in mind. The Holy Spirit is a person just as much as the Son. Jesus is a person just as much as the Father is a person, as we think of entities, right? I don't want to grieve any of you guys, let alone the Holy Spirit, right? You know, the my helper, right? The Lord that's like, just all he wants to do is help me, right? Let me live the best life. So keep that in mind. I think that's a good way to put that into context in your mind when there's something you're not wanting to respond to. Like, that's what I'm going to use. I'm going to use that and be like, oh man, I wouldn't not respond to, I wouldn't not respond to my wife. So I need to respond to the Holy Spirit, right? Because I don't want to grieve my wife and I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So there you go. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. I know you guys are all so tenderhearted. I think I skipped this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, right? So what Paul's trying to say, guys, is just be good to each other. God's been good to us, right? So we need to be good to each other. We need to build each other up. We do that in here. So I'm preaching to the choir, but I've had some great mentors in here. I remember, and I think this is really important early on for new believers. I remember when I first gave my life back to the Lord, right? And it was here in this place that I started calling my home fellowship. Like Joe Maselli used to come by my office and just in the middle of the day, hey, Todd, how you doing, Brother Todd? You know, and he did that a lot, you know, for the first several months. And then I would go and I would have coffee with Daniel. And Daniel and I go over and we'd have great fellowship. And I remember when Vic, you know, was like, hey, I see you like the guitar. Why don't you come, you know, come practice with me? And eventually he's like, hey, why don't you come play with me? And I was like, no way, man. Like, no, you're going to play with me, man. Oh, and you're leading tonight. No. So, but that's like so important, right? We're going to lift each other up. And I think especially like as new believers, it's huge. I've tried to do that with some folks myself. And I know it's appreciated because I appreciated it, right? So it's a huge thing to do that. So that's the stuff right there, guys. Be good to each other, right? God's been good to us. My personal takeaways from tonight, I need to put on the tool bag that God's given me, and I need to use the tools that God's equipped me with. I need to be authentic and sincere. And in some cases, I need to be like emery cloth. And one more, this one came in late, but I like it. God has a sense of humor. Sing with the voice God gave you. Ultimately, it's all for him. Let's pray. Father, thanks for letting me teach this study. I know I'm not so great with time, and hopefully it was good enough. But Lord, I my heart for you, and thanks that you can use a rock like me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.